My brethren and I would like to greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have gathered here to participate in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And as we gathered today, the priesthood participated in their customary morning prayer service. And to listen to the prayers of the men as they prayed for you, as they prayed for this service. It's a balm to your soul. And then to sit and listen in the prayer service of the saints was also a wonderful experience. Because as you sit and listen, and you listen to the prayers of the saints, your minds are drawn, and you hear them praying your prayer for you. Maybe just in a little bit different words. And so we've had opportunity to bask in that spirit, and we know that that spirit is here. I have felt that spirit here this day, and I hope you have too. And today is a special day for our brother Virgil, who will be partaking of his first sacrament. And so we will witness that this day as his grandfather Larry will serve him first. I want to invite you to the base of the cross on Calvary. And if you would, go with me in your mind's eye to that cruel cross and lay your burdens down and focus on remembering our Lord and our Savior. Our preparation has been made. The emblems have been prepared for you. And now is the time when we enter into that portion, that ordinance, where we remember Him. And for those of you who are here at the morning prayer service, Brother Eric bore a testimony. And I had not yet selected a opening scripture for this service. And as I pondered that, there was a word that kept coming to my mind in a scripture that we know in 3 Nephi. And that's the word filled. And so I was pondering this word and I was thinking, what comments, Lord, do you want me to make regarding this word? And then Eric stood and he shared this testimony about being filled with the love of God and this testimony of Lehi's vision. And I knew that the Lord wanted this scripture shared and that this is just part of His Spirit ministering to us today in what you have heard and what you will hear. So for your hearing, I would direct your attention to the third book of Nephi, chapter 8, starting in verse 28. And it came to pass that Jesus commanded his disciples that they should bring forth some bread and wine unto him. And while they were gone for bread and wine, he commanded the multitude that they should sit themselves down upon the earth. And when his disciples had come with bread and wine, he took the bread and brake and blessed it, and he gave unto the disciples and commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten, they were filled. He commanded that they should eat. And when they had eaten, they were filled. And when they had eaten and were filled, he commanded that they should give unto the multitude. And when the multitude had eaten and were filled, and so this word filled, do we have the faith? What do we think of when we reach forth to partake? Do we believe that what we're doing is going to fill us with His Spirit? Let us consider these thoughts about being filled with the Spirit of God. They were eaten and filled. It can be interpreted that they were filled with that temporal sustenance, if you will. Or is it that they were filled with His Spirit? And so I would commend to you this Jesus Christ I would commend to you this service to remember him and to think and to ponder what it is to be filled. And what is it that you think of as you reach forth to partake? Where are our hearts and our minds when we eat that heavenly food that's been blessed? We will now continue with our worship as outlined in the bulletin.
Kind and merciful Heavenly Father, in the sacred name of Thine only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, I lift my voice in praise unto You this morning, beautiful Sabbath day that You've blessed us with. And I stand in awe, Father, at Your majesty and Your glory, the beauty of Your creation. And for this congregation assembled, and I offer my thanks unto Thee for them. Before us, Father, are those emblems that have been prepared. The broken body and the spilt blood of Jesus Christ, it's the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And as we endeavor in these last moments to make preparation before we can reach our hands forth to partake, we'd ask of Thee, Father, to forgive us. Cleanse us from all sin in our life. Make us clean and make us whole, that we might reach forth in all worthiness to partake of that which has been prepared. We know, Father, that You have called us unto repentance, and it is Your good pleasure to forgive us when we seek Thy forgiveness. So this day, Father, we would ask of Thee that You would do just this and forgive us of our sin. Father, send Your Spirit to be here in this place, that that Spirit might move amongst Your people and bless them. Bless the presider this day, our brother Justin. Bless our brother Ed and responsibilities that he has as our pastor. And please be with brother Dan as he would have that responsibility this day to break the bread of life to us. And bless Your people, Lord, that are here assembled. May all that we do this day bring honor and glory to Thy holy name. And we ask these things, Father, of Thee, in the sacred name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
For the oblation remarks this morning, I thought I would share with you, for if you were here for the earlier service, another testimony, not of mine. But I was reading this yesterday about a group of men who were in Oregon, and this was back last year, and they felt impressed that they needed to travel to Africa to be able to provide some type of ministry or help to the people there. They really didn't know much what was needed. And unbeknownst to them, some of the saints in Uganda were in desperate need of a building to worship in. Their building was made out of mud and thatch, and it was collapsing. It had been condemned by the local authorities, and so they had a certain amount of time before they had to leave that place. They could no longer meet there, and so these men came originally to Kenya, and things didn't work out, so they went to Uganda. But this was the thing that struck me, is they were talking about building this church there, and the men had to bring in cement and rock, and they brought it in on motorcycles because the roads are not very good, and they had to haul in all of these supplies. And so they began to make the mortar for the building, and they needed water. And so the women had these large buckets that carried several gallons on top of their heads, and they walked a mile away to where there was water, and they hauled that water back to the place. And as they were putting this building together, their new church, the children were watching, and they needed the bricks, and so the children ran, and each child picked up one or two bricks from their pile of bricks and took those bricks to the men who were working on the building, and they were able to accomplish it and build that. And I read that, and I thought to myself, you know, brothers and sisters, who am I that I should be so blessed to be born in a country such as this, where we don't even have to think about running water or going down to Lowe's and getting our building supplies? Who am I that I should be so blessed to be born into a family that knew about the restored gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that I would be able to have knowledge of that, and that I could come into a building such as this beautiful structure that we have here. We are so blessed, aren't we, saints, in ways that we maybe have not even comprehended. Would you bow with me? Our Heavenly Father, we offer up our thanks to You for the blessings that You have given us. For we realize, Lord, that there are many who are do not have these privileges, and there are many who have not heard the gospel. And yet you have seen fit to intervene and to place us into these lives that we live, that we might have all of these blessings. And Father, well, so we pray that that which we would offer up would be of our heart, might be out of our response to the ministry of your Son and to the great love that you have shown us, even in ways that we have not considered. So bless these things that we offer up, that they might be put to good use, that those who receive these monies and these benefits might be those who are in need, who you see fit to bless. We pray for your kingdom, and we pray for your will to be done, and we give you all the grace, the praise, and the honor, and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's a privilege to stand at any time before the Lord's people and to break forth His words. I was going to, or thought about asking you to take a moment and close your eyes and reflect upon the Lord and Savior, but our Presider has already, Brother Justin, has asked you to do that. But this morning, as I was preparing of what I might say for this service, we understand that Jesus, in the upper room with the apostles, instituted the sacraments, which we're about to partake of. And through the scriptures, the Lord hasn't given us very many command prayers. He gives us the one over baptism, and He gives us the prayer over the bread, and the prayer over the wine. In a few other instances, in some certain sacrament services, He gives a few words which He desires that we say. And that, so I got to thinking about this sacrament that we're about to partake of. And I've read the prayer over the bread and the prayer over the wine probably hundreds of times over the years in serving it. Or if I'm sitting in a congregation and someone reads a prayer over the service, I'm saying it in my head because I know it. But in my preparation, I thought, I know the words of the prayers which are read over the sacraments. But how much time or how much do I really understand the words, to take time to break up the prayer and what it really means. We start with a prayer over the bread. And it goes, O God, who is God to you? Do you take time to reflect upon who He is? How mighty He is, how He is over all things. O God, the one whom we pray to. In Psalms, the 61st verse of Psalms, it says, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. And that is our supplication to our Heavenly Father. Then it goes and says, The Eternal Father. And as our brothers have already mentioned this day in 3 Nephi, and the angel said unto me, Behold, the Lamb of God, even the Son of the Eternal Father. Knowest the meaning of the tree which the Father saw? And I answered him, saying, Yea, it is the love of God, which sheddeth it abroad in the hearts of the children of men. Therefore it is most desirable above all things. The Eternal Father, the power and majesty, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Then it goes, We ask thee. In a baptismal prayer, and I baptize thee, but here it says, We ask thee. It's not only the one that's reading the prayer, but each one of us. We are asking our Heavenly Father. And we kneel, showing the solemn, our Father, that in solemn prayer. And who do we pray, and who have we been taught to pray unto the Father in all things, except in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. 3 Nephi in chapter 9, verse 7. And the 12 did teach the multitude, something that we've each been taught, to pray unto the Father in the name of the Son. And the 12 did teach the multitude, and behold, they did cause the multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. These are common things that sometimes I think maybe we take for granted. Who it is we're praying to. In whose name we approach, who is Jesus, the mediator between us and God. It's a result of Jesus' actions when He went to the cross. You know, He said, God, send me. It was His choice that He went to the cross. Out of the love which He and the Father have for you. And so when the prayer goes to bless this bread, and as they did eat, Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them and said, Take it and eat. Then it goes on and says, Sanctify this bread. And it says, To the souls of all those who partake of it. It doesn't say, the Lord's very careful in His wording. And He doesn't say, Sanctify this bread for those who partake of it. But sanctify it to the souls, all the souls that partake of it. So the fact of that the requested sanctification is to the souls of those who partake of it suggests that it is not the bread, but the souls which partake become sacred by the will and the power of God. It is the intent that the individuals, as a result of the blessing of God, shall have his life set apart for holy and sacred purpose. Do you think of your life being set apart for holy and sacred purposes? That they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son. Remember, the Lord said, take and do in remembrance of me. The result of the sanctification of the bread when eaten by the individual is a vivid remembrance. That is a picture that Justin had asked you to picture in your mind of Christ being crucified upon the cross, and that of a broken body which is shed for you and me. In Matthew, in the 26th section, or chapter of Matthew, the 22nd verse, take and eat this in remembrance of my body, which I give a ransom for you. And then the prayer goes on, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father. What is it to witness unto God? If we're a witness in a court, we're telling what we know to be true, or what we've seen. And here we're asked that we might witness unto the God with that conviction which we have when we entered into the waters of baptism. In section 17, we read the words, and the member shall manifest before the church and also before the elders by a godly walk and conversation that they are worthy of it, being baptized, that they may be works of faith agreeable to the Holy Scriptures, walking in holiness before God. And the prayer goes on that they are willing to take upon them the name of Christ, and that's what we have all done. We've witnessed, and we've entered into the waters of baptism to make that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're willing to take upon Him our names. We talked about preparation when we come before the Lord to take of this sacrament. What preparation did you make in preparing for this day? Did you think about it yesterday? Did you think about it last night as you knelt beside your bed to say your prayer? Did you think about what you were going to do or about this service when you got up this morning? Or were we slothful and waited till we entered into the doors of the sanctuary? That's the preparation, the examination we need to make of our lives before we come to the altar and repent of our sins. And always remember Him and keep His commandments which He has given them. Always remember Him and keep His commandments which He has given them. Do you recognize in your life when you sin? I used to not think about it maybe until I came to a service. Now, when I sin, I immediately recognize I've sinned and immediately know that I have need to ask for repentance because I'm falling short of what He has asked me to do. This remember Him and keep the commandment is determination to serve Him to the end. A willingness to keep His commandments. How many times does the Scriptures tell us to endure to the end? Didn't say it would be easy. And then the last phrase on the prayer over the bread. And here there's a part that is not mentioned in the wine. It's very similar, but there's one word that's missing. That they may always have His Spirit to be with them. And in the prayer over the wine, always is not mentioned. So what is it? It's always to have His Spirit to be with them. Is it not the promise of the Holy Ghost which we receive by the laying on of hands at confirmation? Isn't that God's commitment to us? His promise to us? That when we look and when we ask, that it be there to lead us? Then the Amen. For so be it. And the prayer over the wine is much like the prayer over the bread in many parts of it. O God, the eternal Father, we ask You in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it. Here again, much the same other than it's the wine instead of the bread. And so we can think of it in the same context as we think about the other verses. That we may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son which was shed for them. In remembrance of the blood. In Hebrews, the blood was of some importance in that of their sacrifices they used to make. In the Mosaic Law. In chapter 17 of Leviticus, in the 11th verse, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh the atonement for the souls. In the 9th chapter of Hebrews, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How much more, then, shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself upon us without spot to God, purge your conscience of dead works to serve the living God. And so we partake of the wine in remembrance of the blood of Jesus, which was shed for you and me. It was upon the cross that He took upon Him our sins, thus making an atonement. And without this atonement, we'd hopelessly be lost. So I think as we think about these prayers and that will be read, reflect upon Jesus in the prayer over the bread, in our covenant relationship which we made with Him, and in the prayer over the blood or over the wine, the atonement which He made in the shedding of His blood. In 2 Philippians, chapter of Philippians, beginning with the 5th verse, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." In 1 Corinthians, in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of the one bread," as being the body of Christ, as He presents Himself unto us this day. In Helaman, I'll close with the second chapter of Helaman, the 25th verse. "Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will, in the sincerity of their hearts, call upon His holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gates of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God." May you, as you reach forth this day to partake of these emblems, remember your Lord and Savior and that which He has done for you and for me. God bless.
Would you kneel facing the emblems? O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of Thy Son and witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of Thy Son and always remember Him and keep His commandments which He has given them, that they may always have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Let us once again, as much as able, kneel towards the emblems as the prayers are offered over the wine. O God, the Eternal Father, we ask Thee in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of Thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto Thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember Him, that they may have His Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
We will now close our service with the singing of hymn number 5.
Father and our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we draw a close to this service, and we give you thanks, Lord, for the gift of life and the promise of life eternal through your Son, Jesus Christ, who we come and recognize today. We thank you, Lord, for giving us a way in which we might come back into thy presence through his life and his death, his ascension. Might we recognize the gift in which you have provided us, this gift of repentance and remembrance. Might we see your mercy revealed to us daily in our life. I pray that my brothers and sisters here might take the light of Jesus Christ into their life anew and allow that to work within them in their daily walk, in their neighborhoods, in their occupations. Might each one of us, Lord, stand to be ready to bear testimony of the love you have for all of your creation. Might we be that light that you've provided to your Son. Lord, I ask a blessing now upon this, your people, as they go about, that your hedge of protection might be over them, that you might be their forward and rear guard, and you might assure them that your love abides, as we abide in your love, that you are ever present in our life. We thank you for this promise. We thank you for the love you have for each one. So I pray a benediction upon this time until we meet again, and pray it all in the name of thy Son, even Jesus Christ. Amen.